Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve begins a new month explaining what to expect in the last days.
We live in a day and age where absolute truth is thrown out the window. Everything is just relative truth. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. It's just like, well, that's true for you, but it can be true for you and not true for me. That's the day and age we live in today. So here's our question today. Here's our focus. How can you please God in this postmodern age?
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today he begins a new and timely series that will encourage believers to live a life of expectation for our coming Savior, Jesus. Now the series is taken from the book of 2 Thessalonians, and it's entitled The Church in the Last Days. Now you may notice a bit of a different sound than what you normally hear. Well, this series was actually preached in the summer of 2020 in the church's gymnasium, because in March of that year, the church's 2,000-seat auditorium had to be completely gutted due to a fire and subsequent smoke damage. It took 12 months to repair the building, but the church, meaning, of course, the people, stood firm. The content of this series is extremely timely for us today, as so many churches are also facing enormous challenges. And the first message in the series is entitled, Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age. You can hear it again online if you miss it at fromhisheart.org. Now though, if you can, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin telling us how we might please God in a postmodern age.
We're starting a new series today on the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we're calling this series The Church in the Last Days. Now, some may wonder, well, why are you calling it that? Because it was about 2 Thessalonians, and that was the first century church, and it's been nearly 2,000 years. But did you know that all the New Testament writers, they believed they were living in the last days? And Paul, to the Thessalonians, talks so much about the return of Christ. He talks about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He talks about the rise of Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So much of the material, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, they were both written real close together. Within the span of probably 6 months, the first letter came, then the second letter came. They were the first two letters that Paul ever wrote, and he's focusing in on the return of Christ. And to kick off this series, we want to talk about a life that pleases God, pleasing God in a postmodern age. The story of the Thessalonian church, it came about on Paul's second missionary journey. You know, Paul would make these journeys. He'd go out and he'd evangelize. A missionary journey is just, I'm going into this place and I'm going to preach Jesus and I'm going to tell people about Jesus and people are going to be saved and we're going to start a church. And then I'm moving on to another city and I'm going to do the same thing and we're going to plant a church. He was a church planner. And on these missionary journeys, that's what he would do. He'd preach Jesus, he'd plant a church, and then he would leave. And he wrote the letters, the epistles, those would be going back to the church. Well, on his second missionary journey, Paul went to Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a big city. About 200,000 people live in Thessalonica. It's a seaport city. Thessalonica had sailors in it. It had merchants in it. It was known for prostitution. It was known for violence. It was known for vice. It was known for crime. Paul went there because they had a synagogue. He went and preached for three straight Sabbaths and argued with the people and reasoned with the people that Jesus really was the Messiah. And it says at the end of three Sabbaths that he gave the invitation, so to speak. He invited people to trust Jesus. And they said some Jews trusted Jesus and many, a multitude of God-fearing Gentiles trusted Jesus. Thessalonica is mostly a Roman city. It's a Gentile place. And then there were some of the leading women in the city trusted Jesus. So he started off, boom, he had a good number of people to plant this church. And the church took off. And the church did really well. And Paul was there. We don't know how long. We know it was short. Some say, you know, it wasn't more than probably 6 months. He received two offerings from the church in Philippi while he was there. So we know he was there probably longer than 3 weeks. He was there probably no more than 6 months. And then persecution arose and he had to get out of town because the persecution was fierce. He left Thessalonica. He went to Berea and he was there preaching to the Bereans, and they were responding to the gospel. And the Jews in Thessalonica, they found out he was in Berea. That's 40 miles away. They went to Berea to run him out of town there. And from Berea, he went to Athens. You can read about that in Acts 17 as Paul preached to the Athenians in Athens, Greece. And then from there, he went to Corinth. He was in Corinth for 18 months. In Corinth, he wrote 1 Thessalonians. And then a few months later, he wrote 2 Thessalonians. He wrote to encourage the people in their faith in Christ. He wrote to clear up misunderstandings about the second coming of Christ. And when he wrote in 2 Thessalonians, he was bragging on the church. He was bragging on those new believers. Why? Because they were pleasing God. And he was so proud of them. Hey, you know, when you boil down the Christian life, you can boil it down this way. A successful Christian life is this. It's one that pleases God. That's why we are living for a well done, my good and faithful servant. If you at the end of your life, regardless of what you do, at the end of your life, if you hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant, you are a success in life. Now you could be the president of Amazon and make multi-billion dollars, and at the end of your life, you don't hear that from the Lord. I mean, even as a Christian, your life is a bust. If you don't please God, it doesn't matter what else you do, your life is a bust. But if you please God, then your life is a success. So here's our question today. Here's our focus. How can you please God in this postmodern age? You know, that's what the sociologists and the people, those people in the know, psychologists or whatever, they talk about our age. They look at our times. They say, well, this is a postmodern age. You say, yeah, I've heard that, but I don't really know what it means. It means this. We live in a day and age where absolute truth is thrown out the window. Everything is just relative truth. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. It's just like, well, that's true for you, but it can be true for you and not true for me. Truth is truth. It's true for everyone. But see, we've taken out objective truth. The pulpit is black. You say, well, it is for you. For me, the pulpit's blue. Well, the pulpit's not blue. But see, subjective truth is me, the subject, looks at that and says, it's what I want it to be. That's subjective truth. That's the day and age we live in today. Objective truth says the truth is in the object. Doesn't matter what I think about it, that is black. I mean, however you want to slice it, it's black. The pulpit is black. That's objective truth. Well, the scripture is filled with objective truths. And people today don't want to hear that. They say, well, that's your truth. Jesus died for my sins, rose again from the grave. Well, that's your truth. No, that is true. That's true. That's what the Bible says is true. Now, you as the subject, you can believe it or not believe it, but it doesn't change the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. We live in a postmodern age. And the question is, how can you please God in this kind of an age? Let's look and see from the Thessalonians. Verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus, that's the Roman name of Silas. Silas is the Jewish name. Silvanus is the Roman name. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, that's the missionary team, those three guys, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, We ourselves speak proudly of you. We brag on you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. Hey, this was a church and people who pleased God. So how can you be a people, a church, an individual who pleases God? How can we do that? Four encouragements from this passage. Encouragement number one, make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. If you want to please God, right off the bat, you have to make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. We have people today who kind of grow up in church, and the danger, growing up in church is good, but here's the danger. You kind of develop a churchianity and you don't have Christianity. And so you're just kind of, I'm the good person, I'm the moral person, I'm the person that seems to do right. I don't make too many really blatant, bold, bad decisions. So I just kind of have a comfortable little religion, but I don't have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. Now, there are many people in the New Testament that Jesus encountered, religious people. I mean, people who dedicated their whole lives to the law of God, and they were lost. Big one that comes to mind is Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He's the ruler of the Jews. He's part of the Sanhedrin. He's the teacher in Israel. And Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Here is this guy, I'm the paragon of human virtue, and I'm lost. I just have religion, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. So make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus. In verse 1, where it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, that word church is ekklesia in the Greek. It's used over and over and over and over. Ekklesia means the called out ones. Those who've been called out of darkness into his glorious light. Those who have passed out of death into life because they've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that when you do a little study on grace and peace, you'll find that salutation over and over and over in the New Testament, in the epistles, in the letters? Over and over and over, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Paul used it, Peter used it, John used it in the book of Revelation. It's never peace and grace be multiplied to you. It's always grace and peace. You know why that is? It's not just, well, it doesn't really matter. It can be either one. No, it's grace and peace because you'll never know God's peace until you first receive his grace. See, his grace is what changes you so that you can have peace with God, so that you can have the peace of God. These people had put their faith and trust in Jesus. It was real. So here's the question, is it real for you? Make certain that you truly belong to Jesus, because if you don't, if you just have churchianity and you don't have a true relationship with Jesus, then you're like Nicodemus before he gave his heart to Christ, and the Bible indicates that he did that. You're just in the flesh. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God in the flesh. And Paul says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Do you know that you belong to him? Do you know that you are his? Do you know that you've given your life to Christ, that you've turned from sin and turned to the Savior? That's what the churches were saying about the Thessalonians. In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, they said, hey, we've heard the report about you all throughout this area that you turn from idols to serve the living God. That's salvation. That's salvation. Do you have that? So that's the first encouragement. Make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. Encouragement number 2, take responsibility to grow in your faith. Verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. I mean, it's right for us to give thanks to God for you because your faith is greatly enlarged. I mean, you guys, your faith is growing like a weed. I mean, it is just growing in a huge way. That word greatly increased means to increase above ordinary degree. It's a picture of a flourishing tree. You remember when Jesus told the parable about the sower and went out to sow in the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And he said, some seed fell on the rocky soil, some seed fell on the road, some seed fell on the thorny soil, but some seed fell on the good soil. And that seed grew up and it produced a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. That's the Thessalonian church. It was growing like crazy. And these young believers were really growing in their faith. And Paul says, man, that is what pleases God. We're so proud of you. Why? Because your faith is increasing. So let me ask you, how about your faith? Is your faith increasing? Are you growing in your faith? You say, Jeff, I'm not even sure how to grow in my faith. Well, I'm glad you asked that. How do you grow in your faith? A growing faith comes, first of all, from reading and obeying the Word of God. When we read the Word, when we obey the Word, you don't want to be a forgetful hearer. You want to be an effectual doer. But as we spend time with the Lord, spend time in His Word, we begin to grow. That's why it says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I'm not going to be able to grow very much if I don't spend time in the Word of God. The Bible says of itself that it is bread, it is milk, and it is meat. It's not for your physical body, it's for your soul. The Bible is soul food. It strengthens your inner man. It's bread and milk and meat for the inner man. And many of us, we don't grow very much because we're not eating very much spiritually. And so you have to take it in. You have to spend time with the Lord and feast on His Word and then do what He says. So a growing faith comes from reading and obeying the Word. I was thinking about some years ago, I was at a conference with Howard Hendricks, Dr. Howard Hendricks. He was the professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for years and years and years, trained so many pastors over his time in the ministry. He's in heaven now. Debbie and I got to meet him right toward the end of his life. He was starting to lose it with dementia, but we had breakfast with Howard Hendricks and his wife, and it was a sweet time to be with him toward the end of his life. But I remember going to a conference with him. And he was such a great teacher, and he would get so excited about teaching his students. He was talking about memorizing scripture. He said, hey, do you remember when you used to have those little cards that you would buy, a little package of scripture cards for scripture memory, and you'd have them in your pocket and you'd pull them out and you'd memorize scripture together? He said, do you remember when you did that? And I was thinking, yeah, I remember I did that in college. He said, why'd you stop? I said, oh, yeah, why did I stop? Well, I mean, I needed that to grow early on. And what you need to grow early on, you need that to grow as you mature too. And so here was Howard Hendricks. And when he was at this conference, he was in his late 70s. And he said, my wife and I, we still use the little little cards, and we memorize scripture together. He said, my mind is not like it used to be. But he said, I still discipline myself to take in the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. You grow by reading and obeying the Word. Secondly, your growing faith or a growing faith comes from believing God. You believe what God says. So that comes from spending time in the Word. But as I spend time in the Word, then I step out on the Word. I say, God, this is what you promised. I step out on this. Did you know that so much of what we do when we come to church, so much of preaching is reminding people what they already know, but they tend to forget. They tend to put it on the back burner. So many Sundays, it's so you're reminded that, boom, this is what you need to do. You need to believe God. You need to remember that God is the God who can part the Red Sea. God is the God who can rain down manna from heaven. God is the God who can cause water to come from the rock. God is the God of might and miracle. God can do anything in your life and in my life if we just trust Him. Now, the poster child for believing God is Abraham. Abraham believed God, the scripture says, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And if you remember, God, when he called to Abraham, Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees. And God calls him in Ur and says, Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. And I'm going to make a great nation of you. And I'm going to give you children like the sand that's on the seashore. And Abraham was 70 years old. His wife was 60 years old. They didn't have any children. She couldn't have any children. She was barren. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you sons like the sand that's on the seashore. Well, when God gives you a promise like that, you get fired up that this is coming. Hey, honey, we need to have a second honeymoon because God's getting ready to give us kids. Well, they didn't come. They didn't come in 5 years. They didn't come in 10 years. They didn't come in 15 years. They didn't come in 20 years. They didn't come in 25 years. I mean, it would have been easy to say, this ain't happening. This is what the scripture says in the book of Romans. In hope against hope, he, Abraham, believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was way past, you know, her prime. She's 90. She can't have any kids. She's gone through menopause. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, since she was 90, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hey, God, you said this. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to walk according to what you've said, not according to what I see. Many of us walk according to what we see. The Bible says don't do that. You walk according to what he has said, what he has promised. You know, we have this little phrase that it's been used for years, especially in charismatic circles. Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. What do you want from God? You just name it and claim it, because that's the power that we have as children of Jesus. That's not true. We can't name it. You can't name anything you want. He names it, and when he names it, then you can claim it. That's how you walk by faith. That's how you believe God. You find a promise in the Word of God that is for his children, and you say, God, I'm one of your children, and so I claim this.
Well, we're going to pause right there in our lesson today. Pastor Jeff will return tomorrow and give you a brief review, and then continue with this lesson entitled, Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age. Make sure you're with us then. Now, as we've said today, we do live in an age where absolute truth is often discarded. Relative, changeable truth has taken the place of objective truth in the public square. Scripture, however, is filled with objective truth from the heart and the mind of God. So, how can you and I please God in this postmodern age? In Pastor Jeff Shreve's new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days, he shares 4 encouragements from Paul's letters to the Thessalonians about how to do just that, as you heard today in this message. But also there's much more in the series. We talk about the rapture, the second coming, Armageddon, and the rise and fall of the Antichrist, and much more. Again, 8 lessons that will calibrate you to be all God wants you to be and allow you to please God. Now, this series is our gift to you to say thanks for your support from His Heart this month. You can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org to make that gift. And when you do, we'll send you the series, The Church in the Last Days, in the format of your choice. And thanks for joining us in this important and timely outreach to our hurting world. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow for part 2 of this timely lesson entitled Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age, from the series The Church in the Last Days. Join us then, as Pastor Jeff will again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.